Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show as we start a new week after a very eventful sports weekend. Got a lot to talk about today in the beginning of this week. Matt Catrillo here with you, of course. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai. Great selection of new and pre-owned inventory, and whether you're looking to buy that new or pre-owned inventory, you have a sales staff that is there for you, not just there for the sale. And then a service department that is there for whatever vehicle you choose, with those diagnostics, the inspections, the routine maintenance, it's all part of the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And all part of that Sunbury Motors guarantee is making sure they have plenty of awesome technicians in that service department ready to serve you. And they need more because of the busy business that a great 107-year-old dealership has earned. They're looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body frame and alignment, and towing departments. Whether you are an experienced technician, an entry-level technician looking for your first job, or someone looking for a career change, they would love to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 286-7746. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And, of course, every Monday show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or go to purdyinsurance.com. They are the true pros pros at insurance matters, home, auto, life, business, you name it, they have it, and they're ready to serve you. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or go to purdyinsurance.com. So as I mentioned, a lot to recap today. KYW's Matt Leon is back with us. Been a while since we've checked in with him on his perspective of Philly sports, which is pretty good right now. 5-0 Eagles. Philly's moving on and winning their first playoff series for the first time since 2010 with an exciting comeback Friday night against the Cardinals, finishing it off Saturday night in St. Louis. Now they get ready for the Braves tomorrow afternoon. Of course, the Eagles able to hang on against Arizona Cardinals yesterday to go 5-0 for the first time since 04, third time in franchise history they've done that, so we got a lot to recap there. Sixers also in the midst of training camp and in the preseason, so we'll get into that a little bit. And will we talk about the Flyers? Probably not, because nobody in Philly really cares about the Flyers. So, but pretty good with the 3 out of 4 teams, especially with the Phils and Eagles right now. So we got him and Dave Cicchini today at 4:35, the head coach of Bucknell football. Taking one on the chin this week at Holy Cross, losing 57-0. And that is a Holy Cross team, of course, that's been really, really very good the last couple of seasons. Of course, 3-time defending Patriot League champs and led by obviously a really good coaching staff. And I just saw the FCS poll, and they are now number 8, Holy Cross is. Actually, 2 teams in the Patriot represented in the FCS poll. You have Holy Cross at 8, Fordham at 17, who Bucknell also has later this year, as they will make the trip here to Christy Bathurst Memorial Stadium in a few weeks from now. So it's been a tough road for the Bison this year. A lot of very tough opponents they've had to face. They've had some tough losses mixed in there, too. And they'll be gearing up for another one this week. Yeah, they have at Yale this week. Another tough non-conference opponent this week. So at Yale, then at Lehigh, and then they finally come back home to face Colgate at the end of the month before they face the aforementioned Fordham Rams on the 5th. Then Georgetown on the road and versus Marist to end the year, the week before Thanksgiving. That's a look there at Bucknell football. Briefly there. Across the way in college football over the weekend, listen, I know I'm pretty much wasting my breath here, but I'm going to anyway because I know there's some people out there that might be frustrated by this too with the recent poll. And There's not a whole lot of movement this week, except, of course, in the top three. Penn State's still number 10 after having the bye this week. But I just don't get the infatuation with Ohio State. Listen, I know they're a good team. I know they're a top five team right now. And I know Alabama struggled with Texas A&M. But again, it was without their quarterback. And they still hung on to win against the conference opponent. And Michigan State stinks. So what do I know about Ohio State right now, how good they are? I mean, I know they're a good team, but I just don't know. I think Alabama's still a better team. I get it, Steve. That's just a small gripe. It is what it is. But I can't stand these things sometimes.
What about the polls?
Yes. There's just an infatuation with Ohio State that's nauseating to me.
Oh.
I just don't know what they've done to be number two.
It doesn't matter.
I know.
It doesn't matter.
I still can't ignore it. Alabama,
why?
To me, getting going down one just because it's stupid. You know me. I can't ignore stupid.
It doesn't matter. See, that's what gets me is you get upset about stuff things that don't matter.
I'm tired with the this goes beyond the polls. I'm just tired with the infatuation of Ohio State nationally.
Okay.
Because it's nauseating.
It's okay. Okay? Does Penn State play Ohio State?
Yes, they got their chance to do it later on in a couple weeks.
Okay, so, okay.
I know.
Move on. What is Penn State even ranked this week? I don't even know.
They're still number 10, as they were last week. They had no movement from the bye.
That's fine. Who cares? They got a game with Michigan this week. Okay, well, we'll see how that goes. I mean, maybe it's just over the years, you know, when I was your age, I was the same way. I would think, well, they're right here, right then. And I'd go through the whole thing just like you. Over time, you then get to a point where you're like, okay, you understand just a better perspective on it. Like, it doesn't matter on October 10th where you are. It doesn't matter. You still got big games starting with this week coming up that can determine where you end up. And that's the attitude you take about it. And that's the attitude I take about it. So I don't care where Penn State's ranked right now. All I care about is they've got a really tough game coming up this week. And if you're Michigan, it's the same thing because they've got a really tough game coming up this week. I mean, it's easy for people to sit there. I was kidding around with Pat Kraft yesterday, and I said, certain parts of the Penn State fan base, oh, Michigan, oh, they're the best team. And I said, well, guess what? I said, Penn State's the best team Michigan's played.
And you know what? Right? I'll go reverse now. I feel very good about Penn State this week. I do.
Let's just quietly get there and then go from there. Okay? quietly get there, go from there. Michigan beat Indiana Sunday, Saturday. Game was 10-10 at halftime. Indiana was up-tempo. Then when they fell behind, Michigan was able to tee off with its defensive front. And in teeing off with its defensive front, it made a, you know, they were, the Indiana offensive line coach ended up getting fired out of it. Lost his job yesterday. And the, just like at Rutgers, Sean Gleason, the offensive coordinator, got fired. And Nunzio Campanelli, the move from tight end coach to offensive coordinator, and our old friend Joe Susan is now the interim tight ends coach at Rutgers. You already knew that, though. I'm sure you already broke that news.
Yes, I did, actually.
Good. And the and Matt Rhule, of course, State College's own, is out as they coach the Carolina Panthers, but they still owe him $40 million.
Yeah, that's not bad. If you're going to get fired, at least you're going to get $40 mil.
I mean, they still owe him $40 million. I mean, and look, Matt is a really good guy. He is a really good guy. State High, Penn State, 94 team. He was on that team. He's a really good guy. And he'll end up with another job. In all likelihood, my guess would be it would be a college job. But, yeah. And let's see. And the Eagles are now 5-0. You have to get a little luck once in a while to do this. On a day where they played okay. You know, and they were only okay yesterday. They almost let this one get away. And Kyler Murray hook slides. And the officials officiated it just right. You know, and we've talked about this on the college level. It's the same in the pros. It's where you start the slide. It's where the ball is put down. And he's short of the mark. Now, I think he's claiming that the scoreboard said it was a first down. But the marker on the sideline said it was third, and the part people don't talk about, what about Cliff Kingsbury? He's got to be telling him in the helmet, it's third and one and call a play. And that microphone does not shut off until 15 seconds on the play clock, so it's an open mic that he had in that sequence. He wasn't telling him? Really? And then they ended up missing the field goal. So you got to get, you know, you have to have good fortune once in a while, you know, when you're going through an undefeated season. And they got some good fortune yesterday with that. Because, I mean, obviously it's a major blunder. And now they got Dallas coming up. And Dallas is playing to it. In fact, you look at the entire NFC East, it's gone from being the NFC least to having a 5-0 team, a 4-1 team, and a 4-1 team. Now, they're not all equal in terms of how they were built, but they're still 5-0, 4-1, 4-1, and they got Dallas this week. Now, I don't know whether Dak Prescott's playing or not, or if it's Cooper Rush, whatever it may be.
At this point, it seems unlikely it's Dak Prescott.
Yeah. So, and Rush, to his credit, has played very well. And Micah Parsons and Dexter Lawrence, this is going to be one of the great tackle end matchups that you're going to see this year. A really good offensive line with the Eagles. And two really talented pass rushers on the edge in Parsons and Lawrence. You're already nervous.
I will say I'm a little more nervous than, say, I was last week, but I still think the Eagles are the better team and will win the game.
I think you're going to get blown out.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I'm actually looking forward to that game. Should be a really good game.
Yeah, me too.
I think should be a really good game. And big thing is, how's Rush going to perform? To his credit, he's done a good job to this point. I mean, I've got to give the guy credit. I mean, most backup quarterbacks, you're just kind of expected to hold the fort for a couple of games, and he's been holding the fort, and they've been hanging in there with him. But you've got to give the quarterback edge by, you know, a margin to Jalen Hurts. He's played really, really well. Buck Showalter, now the Phillies, I know you want to talk about the Yankees. You're all excited about the Yankees, but, I mean, they're going to get swept. So, I mean, they don't have the pitching to match up with Cleveland. And so that's another big problem you got. It's going to be a hard week for you. The Yankees get swept. The Eagles lose to the Cowboys. It's going to be bad. So you're going to be a basket case on Monday. But the Phillies are, what they've done is great. We're going to talk to Matt Leon here at 3:35. What the Phillies done is, you know, they get a big home run from Harper. What an emotional boost it was for that bench that he did that. The pitching of Wheeler and Nola was outstanding. And they finished it off with good relief pitching. All right, they got the big six-run ninth inning. Now, and, you know, and just so everybody knows, I mean, you know, that was kind of a tough one for me because, I mean, I know Ollie Marmol. I mean, Ollie managed for 2 years here with the Spikes. I know him really well. He's probably been on this show a dozen times, Ollie has. You know, Lars Nootbaar, know him. He played here. Tommy Edman played here. Andre Pallante, who came in relief after Helsley fell apart, he played here. Jordan Hicks played here. I mean, these are all guys I know. So you're like, you know. But I'm happy for the Phillies and thrilled for him. And Robbie Thompson gets a two-year deal out of it. You know, there are more Phillies fans than Yankees fans on here, despite the fact that Matt's so obsessed with one team and one team only. I thought Chapman did a good job for you. No, senor!
He's officially in the Hall of Stinkage and in the dope category, and I can't wait for him to leave. I'm done.
He speaks highly of you. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
The weather is getting cooler and the leaves are changing in central PA. Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. If your current agent is falling short, it's time to give Purdy Insurance a call. We're a local, family-owned independent agency ready to find the right insurance to fit your needs. You can call us at 570-286-5855, stop in our office on Market Street in Sunbury, or head to our website at purdyinsurance.com to find out what we can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I feel awful. You know, I should have probably said Clifford saw what I saw. No? I'm just kidding. You can't have fun in this job. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like,
you never know. You might slip out in one of those moments.
I can guarantee you in no uncertain terms it's not.
It's like, I probably would have to agree with that.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, no. But like, we still kid the suit to this day about that. It's like, you know, and it's a great, and please, Kevin makes a great call on the play. We've had a little fun with it. That's all. It's okay to have fun. I wrote a letter to, I was asked to write a letter to students. We're going to get to Matt in a second. And I was asked to write a letter to students in the at Gilbertsville Elementary School. I think it's in the Boyertown School District. So, and one of the teachers asked me to write a letter to his class. All right, so I did. And it started out by saying, "Dear students, don't say he saw what I saw." No, I'm just kidding. No.
Get the lingerie on the deck. So, call the janitor.
I was talking, and the theme of the letter was supposed to be about making your dreams come true. And so I told him, look, have a dream, pursue your dream, but you have to work every single day to make it happen. You just can't expect it to happen. So your work ethic has to be exemplary. You've got to outwork people. And I went through, you know, a couple of paragraphs like that. And at the end, the last paragraph, I wrote, "And with all of this work I've talked about, don't forget to have fun." I said, life is about having some fun. It gives you great balance. Have some laughs. Enjoy life. Right? Get the most out of it. Right? And then when it comes time to work, work. When it comes time to have fun, have fun. And that's how I ended the letter to them. I've had a lot of bad responses to it. I'm just kidding. They all wrote back, "Are you kidding me?"
Oh, my almighty!
No, so it's, but yeah, but you know me, I like to have some fun. Because you got to have some fun and some laughs out of life. Right? Everybody takes everything so seriously these days. You're the worst. The Yankees aren't winning. Who cares? The Eagles, oh my God, they got a fourth. They get on fourth. I just slow down. You're going to have a heart attack before you're 35. Come on.
You know what's funny? Well, two things from watching the Eagles game yesterday. Luke told me to stop yelling. And then after the Cardinals missed the kick, Lisa's like, Go apologize. Go comfort your son right now because I scared Mark when I went ballistic when they missed the kick. But I told Lou, I told them both. I said, it's okay. Daddy sometimes gets out of character when the Eagles are on. It's okay.
Out of character? I'm on the show with you. I mean, to me, you being nice is out of character. What's going on? You being calm is out of character. My goodness. Jeez. Get yourself together. Come on.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I know we have some questions here, right? And I'll do that at 4:06, okay? So I know Tom from Arizona sent one. And what's the other one about? Oh, I see. Okay. That's about the Be the Match thing we did last year?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see about that. There you go. Which is important, by the way, but you know we got to work that stuff out. But we'll answer Tom's question, which are, again, as usual, really good questions online. So let's get to Matt Leon in Philadelphia, because despite the obsession of Matt with the Yankees, and really, it's like I got one man team. Did anybody else in your team do anything this year? Just very quickly, yes, no?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Or are the Yankees just the Mets with Aaron Judge?
Oh, my almighty! That's a good one.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Okay, I'm having fun. All right, the Phillies have been great. Matt, welcome to the show. It's great to have you back.
Good to be with you.
Start with the Phillies, since obviously they're a playoff team that's advanced. They went in two straight. I talked with Tommy McCarthy on Friday for a little bit, and what can you say about the starting pitching between Wheeler and Nola and what they did last week?
I mean, it was tremendous, and that's what makes, I think, the Phillies more dangerous than your average third wild card team is in a short series, a best of three, a best of five, even a best of seven, but specifically like a best of three, a best of five. You know, you can roll out guys like Wheeler and Nola, you know, two times in that series, three times maybe in this next series, and you've probably got a really good chance that they're going to keep you in the game, more than keep you in the game, give you a really good chance of winning. And I think that's something that a lot of other, you know, fringe playoff teams, you know, the last team in, maybe don't have. So it was really impressive. It was big. I mean, it was big across the board, but it was really big for Nola, who's been dogged with some, you know, concerns about whether he was a guy you could count on in a big game. I mean, a lot of that starts to take on a life of its own and isn't necessarily completely grounded in reality, but I think it's all been put to bed completely now, the way he pitched to clinch the playoff spot and then the way he pitched to clinch the wild card
round.
And
not only that, the bullpen, and you've pointed this out before, the bullpen, which has been going through all these transformations, does that finally seem settled to you, the way they've been able to handle that bullpen and how the guys have come through in this?
Well, I think the big thing that really changed things was Jose Alvarado, who was a guy who could throw 101, 102, but a lot of times you didn't know where it was going and could really implode quickly on the mound. And he has, the last several months, he has done a complete 180, not stuff-wise, but just in reliability, and you know what you're going to get, and he's lights out, and he's a lefty who throws that hard, isn't afraid to throw inside. And to have him, I kind of consider him the closer, even though he doesn't necessarily pitch the ninth. He is the guy that is going to get the highest leverage situation over the final three innings, and whether that's the seventh, the eighth, or the ninth, you know, first and third with one out, he's going to come in because that's where the game's going to turn. And I mean, Sir Anthony Dominguez was really good, got hurt, wasn't quite the same after he came back from getting hurt, and was terrible a couple of late outings in September, where he allowed three, four, five runs in an inning. Having him come in the clincher and getting Arenado and Goldschmidt, striking them both out to end the inning and kind of put a last Cardinals threat to bed, I think was really big for his confidence. So to answer your question, I don't think they have roles where pitcher X gets the seventh, pitcher Y gets the eighth, and pitcher Z gets the ninth. But I think they've got a handful of guys down there, and the guys that I've mentioned, I think David Robertson to a lesser extent, but guys that they got competent, Zach Eflin, who I should have mentioned, who close things out, that they are confident in, are going to do the job more often than not. And when you combine, you know, having three or four arms you feel good about following, what we just talked about, the starting pitching, once again, in a short series, that makes a lot of difference.
And what we're seeing is, okay, Mariners and Jays aside, in that one game, is you're seeing lower scoring games. What do you think it meant for the Phillies? Not the fact that he put him in front, but that Harper hit his first postseason home run with the Phillies right at the point they needed it.
I think it was big, it was symbolic, and I also think it built on, because it's funny how this turns around. If you and I are talking, you know, Friday at, you know, in the seventh inning, talking about how this team can't get big hits, how they're an example of why too many teams make the playoffs, and all this stuff. And it turned on a dime in a ninth inning where the Cardinals just absolutely fell apart in that first inning, in that first game. But the key, in my opinion, and I'll bring this back to Bryce Harper, is that they kind of stood back and let the Cardinals immolate. They didn't, and specifically I'm thinking of Harper and Castellanos, because it's one out, runner on first, and Harper comes up, and you know, like, his instinct is to try to tie the game. He's the guy that gets the big money, and he's the guy that has to come through, and he's the guy that's had to deal with, you know, can't come through in big spots, stuff like that. And he takes a walk. And it's not the sexiest thing, but he let them put him on base. And then Castellanos does the same thing to a lesser extent. And you could see the pitcher just unravel through those at-bats. And then he hits Bohm, and then it's, you know, then the floodgates open. But it's really easy in those situations to try to do too much, especially in that situation where you're a nine-figure player who is getting paid to hit home runs in just that situation. And instead, he takes the walk, and it opened the door to that huge six-run inning. And I think that at-bat, the patience, that ability, allowed him to exhale. Next time he's up in game two, he hits the ball 800 feet. I think there's a connection there.
Yeah, and I think it was a big boost for that bench to see him do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's – how do you look at the Braves series? Obviously, the Braves are the defending champions. Freeman may have moved on, but they have Olsen. They didn't have Acuna last year. This year they do. And we all know about their pitching, starting with a 21-game winner in Kyle Wright. How do you feel about this matchup with Atlanta?
I mean, I think Atlanta is the favorite. I don't think – to not say that they aren't.
Right.
But I also think it is now a Phillies team that is completely playing with house money. That is completely – the big thing for the Phillies, the big thing around their neck was this group or this – you know, in recent history, they hadn't been able to get into the playoffs. They'd had September collapses, you know, and really bad ones under multiple managers, you know, and it started to kind of look that way this year. Wasn't it for now? But, you know, they were struggling to beat anybody but the Nationals, and the big thing that happened for them was the Brewers fell apart worse, so they get in. But you could see once they get in, now it's a whole different, and all of a sudden you're just a six squad, and you're going on the road for, you know, 2 weeks at a time, and you don't get to play at home, and lo and behold, you beat the Cardinals. Now nobody expects you to beat the Braves, defending champ, everything you just said. You just go in there and play baseball. But once again, you can throw some really good starting pitching, and you get into a game where it's, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth inning, and it's 1-1, 2-1 either way. Anybody's game, one swing of the bat, one mistake, who knows? So I think that the biggest thing the Phillies have going for them is the expectations, and that can really serve a group well when they're starting to feel themselves and they're starting to feel it in a short series like that. And not for nothing, all it takes is a game one loss for the Braves, and all of a sudden pressure starts on them. Even if you're supposed to beat this Phillies team, what happened? Now you've lost home field advantage and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think the Braves are the favorite. They bring a lot to the table in every aspect, but I think it should be fun.
When you're 5-0, you have to be really good, and the Eagles are really good. You also have to be lucky, and yesterday they got lucky. That obviously, I had coaching a quarterback. I can't figure out it's 3rd-and-1. Let's spike the ball.
Yeah.
What do you think, though, about what did yesterday's game? There are different ways to win. They found a different way to win yesterday. What's your thoughts on the Eagles right now at 5-0?
I mean, there's only one team that's undefeated, and they've kind of, they have faced adversity and they have found a way. And, yesterday's game, it's 14-0 in the first half, and I'm sitting there watching, thinking, oh, wow, they're really taking care of business. This might have 35-7 written all over it. And, and then that doesn't happen. And there were some things that happened I found odd. How does A.J. Brown get 3 catches in the first drive and then nothing the rest of the way? And they seem to go away from the run for a lot of the game until the money was really on the table and they needed to burn 8.5 minutes and go down for a game-winning field goal. It's not going to be pretty every week. And the difference in the NFL, is the good teams find ways to win these games, and the mediocre to bad teams find ways to lose them, and find ways to lose them by, not being aware enough when you slide, thinking you got the first down, not looking over your shoulder to check to make sure you got it, and you spike, and all of a sudden you backed yourself into a corner where you've got to kick a, 43-yard field goal. And, it 2 years ago, with the way the Cardinals were playing, Murray slides 2 yards past the line of scrimmage. They go down, probably score a touchdown, and they win. It's just it's amazing how this stuff can snowball in both directions. But they took advantage. They didn't play their best game, but you found a way. And I think every team in a 16-17 game season you're going to have four or five games like this where you don't play your best, and what you do with those games probably determines if you're a division winner or a wild card team, or a wild card team and out, or out of the playoffs. And you find a way to win, especially on the road, and you move on to the next one. I think there was a little bit of a trap game there for the Eagles, you know, coming off a big comeback win against Jacksonville, was emotional, beating Doug Peterson. You've got Dallas, a showdown next week, and here you got a trip out to Arizona against a Cardinal team that had been very middle of the road. So I think there was some potential for disaster, but they weathered the storm. The best way to correct mistakes is when you correct them after winning, and that's what the Eagles get to do.
How do you view the matchup with the Cowboys? Obviously, Cooper Rush has been the quarterback. Micah Parsons has been must-see TV.
Yeah.
So how do you view this matchup with Dallas on Sunday night?
I think it should be a really good game. I mean, Dallas really had their way with the Eagles last year. Like, you know, they didn't just beat them on the scoreboard. They beat them, and I know the one game didn't matter from the standpoint that everything was clinched. But that first game in Dallas, you know, Dallas manhandled them, and they earned every part of a blowout victory. You know, if it's Cooper Rush, I feel pretty good that the Eagles are going to be able to do some things defensively to limit them. Cowboys defense, you know, you mentioned Micah Parsons, but really across the board, they've been really good this year.
No doubt.
This will be the best offensive line, though, that Cowboy defense has faced. And in theory, you hope that they will be able to minimize some of that pass rush that just, you know, drove the Rams nuts yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Eagles can run the football on just about anyone when they put their mind to it. It should be a good game. It's what you kind of always hope Eagles-Dallas is. Both teams kind of in the same spot as far as among the elites in the league, and it's in prime time, and it should be a lot of fun. But I don't think a lot of people are looking at that game against the Rams and kind of extrapolating great things for the Cowboys, and they played really well, but I think they played against a Ram team that's got a lot of flaws that people aren't quite accepting yet, and they were able to take advantage. And we'll see, you know, for Sunday, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be a lot of fun. I go back to, the NFC playoffs, and the Eagles beat the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game. It was that Eagles fan. He says, "It's Dallas here at the." It's like that great NFL film scene with that.
Absolutely, that's what it's all about. Yeah, and so. Dallas Week always it smells differently. Yeah. You know, there's a different feel to Dallas Week, regardless of where the teams are, but especially here where. You know, obviously the Eagles are undefeated. Dallas is 4-1 and really surging and really turning a lot of heads. This is why you watch sports. This should be really exciting.
Matt, how's Penn? How's the Ivies this year?
Well, your Quakers are 4-0, my friend, after dismantling Georgetown down in Washington, D.C., 59-28. It'll be interesting. Penn, the biggest 2 weeks ago on a Friday night, Penn beat Dartmouth up in New Hanover.
In Hanover, yeah. I watched some of that.
Yeah, double overtime. And that was a huge win, not just because any Ivy win's huge, but Dartmouth had really stolen Penn's lunch money the last couple of years, like really took it to them. And they're defending champs. So to go up there and win and really outplay them. If anything, Penn deserved to win that game in regulation. I thought they were that much better than Dartmouth. But this week, you know, Columbia, from here on out, it's all Ivy League teams. I would say you haven't quite started. It's hard to tell who's separating themselves right now. Obviously, Penn's 4-0. Harvard's pretty good. Princeton looks to be really good. Dartmouth lost to Yale, so you know, Dartmouth probably already eliminated from title contention because that's what two losses can do when you're talking about a seven-game season.
That's
but,
right.
You know, Penn's a legitimate 4-0. They've got a defense that is a problem for anyone. They've got an ascending young quarterback, and they don't maybe have superstars at the skill positions, but they've got 7, 8, 9 guys that all contribute. You know, we'll see. Next two are at home, Columbia and Yale. If they can find a way to win those two, it'll set up for a very exciting final month of the season.
I think that's great. I'm so glad you're in, you guys are back playing again, and you're back involved doing it. So I'm thrilled.
Thank you. It's fun.
You always do an awesome job. You do.
Thank you.
Terrific play-by-play guy. Hey,
I appreciate that.
Matt, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate you, my friend.
All right, take care.
All right. Cowboys, Eagles. Did you get that package I sent you?
I did not, no. Not yet.
I sent 4 cases of Motrin. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.